changed around. It's amazing how many more chairs we were able to get in by doing it this way. So we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. As you look around, you see a lot of the flowers that have been put in memory of somebody. And then we've also got, if you could turn the mic down just a little bit, we also see a number of these banners that have been put up by the people that have taken care of our sanctuary. And so I'm going to pray over the banners as we get started this morning, and we're going to start right back here. Lord, we just want to say thank you, because as we ask of you today, you told us that you'd give us the nations for our inheritance. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We hear you this morning. We want to listen to you. We receive what you have for us because you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We praise you. We love you. We seek you. And we fear you, for you are God and God alone. Amen? Amen. Let's watch a little media presentation. And for you in the back here, I apologize. You got to turn around. But let's watch. Let's take your hymnals beneath your chairs or the one in front of you, if you would do that right now. It's good to see you all bowing down this morning. Very good. We're going to turn to 214 in our hymnals, and we're going to do this responsive reading together, okay? He is risen, alleluia, and I'm going to say he is risen, and you're going to say he is risen indeed, all right? Here we go. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. All right, let's go ahead. I'm the worship leader and you're the people, all right? So let's go ahead and read this together. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah." Turn now in your hymnals to number 217, and we're going to sing Christ the Lord is risen today. Go ahead and stand up. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs. first. Thank you. You may be seated. This is really great seeing each and every one of you. And for those of you that are going to be looking at my back through the service, I apologize. And for those of you that are looking at my front, I apologize. This morning, we want to go through five parts of the resurrection story. And I'm excited to be able to share this with you. So if you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, we'll read this passage together. And because you're already standing, I'll let you sit. All right? Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evildoers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Can we pray? Lord, I need you today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit, as I open my mouth, Lord, that you would fill it. I pray for every man, woman, and child here today, that, Lord, we would leave thankful for the person and work of the Lord Jesus and the gospel of Christ that will free us and bring to us salvation if we put our full confidence and faith in Christ alone. So thank you, Lord, for your life. Thank you for your death. Thank you for your burial, and most importantly, today, we say thank you for your resurrection. You're a great and mighty God, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think of our identification with Christ this morning, I just want to share with you that this is so awesome when we stop to think about what God has done for us. You know, there's an unholy trinity. Have you ever heard of this? There's an unholy trinity. It's called me, myself, and I, right? And we have a problem, and that problem is ourselves, because we get in the way of what God wants to do in our lives and through our lives. My mom used to sing me a song when I was a little boy, when I would get really into myself, and I would come to her complaining about something. She would say, well, you want to hear a little song? And I'd say, well, no, because she sang about everything. And she said, this is the way it goes. I love myself. I think I'm grand. I even love to hold my hand. And I would think, that is the stupidest song I've ever heard. Why would you sing that song to me? Because that's who we are. We're in love with ourselves. We're narcissistic in our views of everything. It's all about us. And guess what the middle initial is of sin? I. It's all about us. And when we put ourselves first, we get into trouble. The definition of joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. But when you put yourself first, that spells yaj. I have no idea what that means. If you want joy, if you want real joy, you have to put Christ where he belongs, on the throne of your life. Well, Philippians 3:10, that I, we're going to take it apart, and that's where we're going to stop for this first part in our identification, that I. But the Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, it's not I, but Christ. It's not I, but Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. That's what Paul said. And he understood. He got this whole idea of the unholy Trinity. How do you get rid of self? You have to put yourself off the throne, and you have to put Christ on the throne. He has to occupy the first place in your heart. It's interesting when you go back to Philippians chapter 3, if you still have your Bibles there, look at verses 5 and 6. There are seven things, I'm going to go through them really quickly, but seven things that Paul says that he trusted in, that he relied on, that he loved more than anything else. It was his life pursuit to make these seven things the God of his life. First of all, he says salvation is not by ritual. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. For us today, many of us, if we're born into Lutheranism or into Methodism or even into Catholicism, what has replaced the circumcision is baptism. Baptized on the eighth day. I was baptized. Paul says, so what? It means nothing. There's no significance to it. Salvation is not by ritual. Number two, salvation is not by race. He says, I was of the nation of Israel. It's not by race. You know, the Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, right? All lives matter. It's not by race. And God says that to us. He says, you know, all of us, no matter what race or religion or, you know, wherever you come from, we're all one and we all come from the same place. Number three, it's not by rank. He said, I was from the tribe of Benjamin. And fourthly, salvation is not by tradition. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, Paul says. Fifthly, salvation is not by religion. I was a Pharisee. Six, it's not by sincerity. What does it say? He says, according to zeal, I was a persecutor of the church. And seventh, salvation is not by legalism or self-righteousness. He said, I was blameless. Look what it says. If you look back on that, look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me? This is kind of like a profit and loss statement. That's what Paul is talking about. The wording in this passage is all about kind of a ledger. And Paul is lining out item by item the things that he trusted in before he came to Christ. And look what he says. But the things were gained to me, these I have counted what? Loss for Christ. But indeed, verse 8, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish. Some of your Bibles say dung. Some of your Bibles say excrement. Garbage. All the things we trust in. I hope you're not trusting in those things today. I hope your faith is not trusting in your baptism, in rituals, or your race, or your rank, or your tradition, or your religion, or your sincerity, or your legalism, because all of that is filthy rags, and it's all worthless dung, as far as Paul's concerned, as far as we should be concerned here this morning. So this is what we're going to do. There's the cross. and it's draped with the resurrection garment of the Lord Jesus as we pretend and we look at that. I'm going to ask Jared if he would go right now, and we're going to loose that cross. Jared's going to bring it up here and somewhere around in this section, and we're going to hold up the cross, and I'm going to ask men to help us this morning. So as he brings it up, if you feel led of the Lord, and it's going to be a little intimidating, but Jesus said, if you won't confess me in front of men, I'm not going to confess you before my Father in heaven. And I'm not telling you that if you don't come up, you're not going to heaven. That's not what I'm trying to say. I am saying that as men, especially now in America, things are so bad. What do we need more than anything else? We need the cross. And we need to hold up the cross. And so as men, we're going to ask you to come up on occasion, or whatever, whenever the Lord leads you, just put your hand on Jared's shoulder and say, I'll hold it for a while. And spell him. Let somebody else hold it if God leads you to do that. This is an object lesson throughout the message today that we need to hold up the cross. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the cross of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we want to bring it home. And so the first statement is, who cares? I care. We need to care as we take up the cross of Christ. 1 Peter 5:7 says that God cares for us. Hallelujah. Let's sing At the Cross. All right, number 188. And as you sing, you can stand if you want. You can raise your hands if you want. However you want to give worship to the Lord. Number 188. Seated. If we can maybe just have one of the guys hold the cross. The rest of you can feel free to sit down. God bless you, Gene. All right, let's look at the second part of our talk this morning, our regeneration. We ask the question, who cares? And the answer should be, I care. Now we want to ask the question, who saves? That's something that we need to get right because we get confused at who the Savior is. We think that we're the ones that can save ourselves. And so we lift up the cross of Christ. It's Jesus who saves. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him. And that word know is really cool because it comes from the Old Testament. And the word in the Old Testament is the word yada. Anybody know that? Yada, yada, yada. If we really understood what we were saying when we say yada, I don't think we would say yada, yada, yada. Because yada means, it means intimacy between a man and a woman. The Bible says that Adam knew his wife. He yada'd his wife. That's the word. So why would God choose that word to describe the relationship he wants with us? Because frankly, I think about that and I go, that's a little odd. I don't know what you're trying to say there, God, but I don't know how that works. But I kind of understand in my puny brain just a little bit of maybe what God is trying to say. He says, I want intimacy with you. I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. And guess what word Paul used, which is the equivalent in the New Testament? For yada, it's the word ginosko, which means to know by experience. I can say that I know, well, let's just use anybody. I could know, I know Nancy Pelosi. I don't know why her name came to my mind. I don't want to know Nancy Pelosi. But let's just say I do know Nancy Pelosi. Well, I know about her, right? I don't know her personally. I never have met her. But I could say I know her, but I don't know her yada. I don't know her intimately. I don't know her in a relationship. I have no idea who she is. I don't know her. Some people say they know Jesus. I know who Jesus is. If you don't know him personally, if you don't have a yada relationship with Jesus, if you don't have a ginosko relationship with Jesus where you know that you know that you know that you know who Jesus is, you really don't know him. And I thought this was so cool as I laid the template of Galatians 2:20 over Philippians 3:10. It's the same thing. Look what it says. That I may know him, Galatians 2:20 says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Wow. So my identification with Christ, not I, but Christ. My regeneration, my salvation into Christ, knowing Christ intimately, personally, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Let's sing number 210, remain seated. Jesus paid it all. And then we'll follow that with Lead Me to Calvary, number 176. 210, Jesus paid it all. Left and stayed and washed in Calvary, and we thank him for what he did for us on Calvary. Lead me to Calvary, number 176. Three verses on that. Identification with Christ. Who cares? I care. We all need to care. We spoke of our regeneration. That just is a fancy word for being dead and coming back to life. Our salvation into Christ. Who saves? It is Christ who saves. And we lift high the cross of Christ. We asked who lives. We need to wear the cross of Christ. This is our sanctification. That's another fancy word that means just simply becoming like Christ. Sanctification means to be set apart, to be holy. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." How do you do that? How do you get to be holy? Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no way you can be holy on your own. You have to die so that Christ can live in you. Who lives? Christ lives in me. Christ lives through me. Look what it says, Philippians 3:10. And the power, that's the word dunamis in the Greek, and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection. What does that mean to have power? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. You see, God wants you to be alive, but you're alive in Christ. Not I, but Christ lives in me, right? So let's sing now, Christ Arose. I love this. Up from the grave he arose. Let's sing number 216 in your hymnal. Up, sitting down as much as we are in a, if we were in a Catholic church, right? Yeah. Just kind of bringing you back to the reality of where we've been. You have to be identified with Christ. In his death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. In 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you don't believe that, can you be saved? I remember years ago, and I shared this before, and you may have heard it. We had a young man in my office after a service one day, and he said, I want to come to faith in Christ. I want to ask Christ into my heart. And I said, I'm so glad to hear that. And I was at a stage in my understanding of salvation, even back then, where I understood that it wasn't good enough for me to tell them how to pray the prayer. Just pray this prayer after me, and you'll be saved. I didn't do that. I said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to pray from your heart. And if you get stuck, I'll just ask you some questions just to kind of prompt you. And he started to pray, and started praying around the world, so to speak, as I call it. He couldn't land the plane. He didn't know where he was going, right? And so I asked him, I said, Chris, we'll use Chris's name, all right, because that's what his name was. I said, Chris, I said, do you believe that Jesus was a real person? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, great. Chris, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin? Chris said, yeah, I believe that. I said, Chris, do you believe that Jesus was buried? Yeah, I believe that. I said, Chris, do you believe that Jesus rose again the third day according to the scriptures? And there was a pause. And I said, Chris, did you not hear what I said? Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose again the third day according to the scriptures? He said, no, I don't believe that. And I thought to myself, I could have led him in a prayer. I could have had him pray a prayer, and he could have left thinking he was saved. You cannot be saved if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And from that day on, my soteriology, that's a fancy word for doctrine of salvation changed? Do you understand that Jesus had to live so that he could die? And he had to die so that he could be buried, and he had to be buried so that he could be raised again on the third day. Guess where every other religious leader is today? They're still in their grave. Their bones are rotting. Jesus is the only way. Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Have you seen those bumper stickers that say coexist? I hate those bumper stickers. I have to drive by and Sheree says, "Do you have to look at the person?" And I say, "Yeah." I have to see what that person looks like because I can't believe that anybody would think that that's a good idea. You cannot coexist with Christianity. You can live together with Christians, but Christianity cannot coexist with any other world religion because every other world religion is man's attempts to reach God by what he does or doesn't do. Christianity is the only religion where Christ reached man. He's the one that took the initiative. And when we say that we found Christ and we accepted Christ and we came to Christ, you know, the honest truth to that is nobody comes to Christ on their own. We come kicking and screaming to salvation. There's nobody that wants to be saved. There's no one righteous, no, not one. We've altogether gone out of the way, the Bible says. God is the one who came to seek and to save those who are lost. And so we think of that thought this morning, who lives? It's Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. And now our supplication, Philippians 3:10, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Really? The fellowship of his sufferings? I love stories about the sea. And there are so many stories of men who have been on boats and have gotten shipwrecked, and they just had one little dinghy that they would get into, and they would be cast adrift on the ocean waters for sometimes days and weeks on end, sometimes even over a month. And you read those stories, and guess what? There's true fellowship when you have fellows in a ship together that are almost dying. What kind of fellowship do we have with Christ in his suffering? 2 Timothy 3, verse 12 says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Would you turn in your Bibles to Luke 9? Luke chapter 9. Starting to read at verse 23 through 26. How do you know if you're a Christian? How do you know if you're saved? Look at what these verses say. We'll wait till you get there. Luke 9, 23 through 26. It's page 1207 in my Bible. I don't know what you've got on yours, but then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." I have in my Bible, "daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what advantage is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." We need to bear the cross of Christ. I died in Christ. Who dies? I died in Christ. Bobby's going to lead us now in Christ alone. And again, I apologize to this end here. It's on the screen for you. You're going to have to turn around a little bit in your seat. In Christ alone, let's listen to these words and be convinced in your mind and heart of the fact that only Jesus is the one that can save you from your sin. Let's sing together. Go ahead and stand. That'd be a better way to do it.
In Christ alone, my My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by dawn. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
No power.
No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hands. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time right now, we're going to celebrate the Lord's communion, the Lord's table. We're going to ask our elders if you'd come and just come along the side here. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this, take this in remembrance of me. For in the same way that you show forth my death, you show forth my coming again." And Jesus said the next time that he's going to partake, that we're going to partake together of the bread, is when we get to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Maybe this is the year, as they say in Jerusalem, maybe this is the year that Jesus is going to return. And so Jesus took the bread. This is leavened bread. He took it and he broke it and said, "This is my body." You think of the violence of just tearing a loaf of bread. Think of the violence of what they did to Jesus on the cross. So wait to be served, and then everybody will partake together, okay? Let's go ahead and watch something here on the screen that will kind of give you an idea of the Passover. In fact, next week we're having a guy come, Richard Hill. He's going to be giving us Christ in the Passover. Maybe we'll keep the chairs the way they are so that we can have that Passover experience in the round. So let's watch the sacrifice of Christ. This bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. As I think about this, sometimes when I put it in my mouth and my teeth begin to chew it, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But it's in the chewing and the crushing that God wants to remind us, you think you've got problems? Remember what I did for you. And when you go through your problems and difficulties, do this in remembrance of me, the fellowship of my sufferings. being conformed to his death. Let's partake and in our hearts be thankful. Can we have another man help us with the cross so that... There you go. Thank you, Andrew. In this time, let's just go ahead and sing, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. In the same manner, Jesus took the cup and he said, this is an illustration. Just as the grape had to be crushed in order for its juice to be extracted, even so I had to be crushed. And I did it willingly. The Bible says he set his face as a flint to go to the cross. He knew what it was going to cost him. He did it anyway. He did it anyway. He was God in the flesh, and yet he chose to take the pain and the suffering. And as his blood drained from his body, we remember that verse that says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Shall we partake and be thankful? Let's sing, "There is power in the blood." Amen. Number 191. There is power in the blood.
Working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Power, working power in just blood of the Lamb.
All right, thank you. Seated. All right, we've talked about our identification with Christ, our regeneration and salvation into Christ. We've talked about our sanctification to become like Christ. We've talked about supplication. That's another fancy word that just means prayer. Our supplication to Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings. And now let's end with our glorification. Who cares? I care. Who saves? Jesus saves. Who lives? Christ lives in me. Who dies? I died in Christ. Who wins? God wins. Look to the last book and the last chapter and the last verse, and what do you read? Christ wins, right? Conflict we're going through right now, no matter what difficulties are in your life right now, no matter what hurdles and tribulations and problems are in your life right now, they're there for a purpose. God allowed it for good. The enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8 as we close today. Romans chapter 8, this is so amazing. Romans chapter 8. Starting to read at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? We could even add in there, or terrorism? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I love this. I love this. If you've got your Bible, you need to circle it and underline it and highlight it. Yet in all these things, we are losers. Is that what it says? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, we sang about that a moment ago, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I just read that, I had this thought in my mind because I heard actually somebody say this one time. They said, yeah, but you can take yourself out. And, you know, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, went through all the trouble of saying death nor life, angels, principalities nor powers, that's satanic beings, things present nor things to come, height nor depth, that's talking about astronomical terms or, you know, microscopic terms, right? Height nor depth nor any other created thing. Can you put yourself in that? Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People that think that they can lose their salvation never had it. Mm-hmm. You can't lose something that God gave you. God gave you your salvation. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise that you can take to the bank. God is there for you, and He will never leave you. Philippians 3:10. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who wins? Christ wins. During this time of this song, and I thought we had sung it. We're singing it right now. I Know Whom I Have Believed, number 409 in your hymnal. We're going to take a collection. And there's a part of me that wishes that we didn't have to do that. I wish that wouldn't necessarily be a part. But you know what? The collection really is part of the joyful response for what God has done. Years ago when I first came to Kingman, would you pray with me on this? I prayed that in the Kingman Ministerial Association, and I asked a number of the pastors, I said, would you join me in this? I asked the pastors of all the churches, that was 24 years ago. I said, would you do something for me? Can we do something collectively? We do an Easter sunrise service. We do a Good Friday service. Could we do an Easter service together? Could we just forego all of our individual services and could the Church of Kingman come together in one big place to have one huge Easter service? And I don't want to throw my fellow pastors under the bus. But you know what many of their responses were? What are we going to do with the offering? And I said, well, hey, why don't we give it away? Why don't we just give it away? Would you pray with me that dream that God put in my heart, that we would actually see that happen here in Kingman? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. To be able to see the collected church together in one place on Easter Sunday morning to show to the community, Christ is risen indeed. Let's sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed, as we take the Lord's tithes and our offerings. Remain seated so that you can have the offering taken, all right? Let's go ahead. Peace within my heart.
which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him.
What do you know?
But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
All right, you say you know that. Now let us be lifted as we go from this place. Love lifted me. Great hymn of the faith, number 501. Let's stand together. 505.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful soul. We deeply stand, keep to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From
another minute. As I think of all the men that have come up to hold up the cross, what a great illustration. Amen. I guess we could say they're amen, right? Amen. We need amen in our churches. Men that will stand up and stand holding the cross. knowing that the world hates the cross of Jesus Christ. When I first came here, the steeple didn't have a cross on it. And for about 3 elder meetings, I just said, guys, we've got to get a cross on the top of that steeple. Why would you have a steeple and not have a cross on it? I don't comprehend. Of course, I came from Salt Lake City, where there are all kinds of steeples and no crosses. Why? Because they hate the cross of Christ. I love the cross of Christ. If you're going to wear it around your neck, if you're going to put it on the back of your car, make sure that you're ready to pick up the cross and carry the cross and believe the cross and trust the cross of Christ for salvation. May each of you be blessed on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday, knowing that God died for you so that you can live for Him. Amen? Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.